The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little thought for you for the day. The more advanced you are in virtue, the more likely you are to see and admit your own faults. So the apostles are showing some spiritual progress today, right? Jesus says, "I say to you, one of you will betray me," and they're all afraid that it might be them. One after another, they say, "Surely it is not I, Lord." All except for Judas, who, with hypocrisy so thick you can cut it with a knife, tells a bald-faced lie to Jesus, who is truth itself, knowing exactly what he's about to do, says, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Notice, Judas alone will not say Jesus is Lord. He only calls him Rabbi, a non-committal term, devoid of any love or any reverence, and Jesus, acknowledging the truth of his soul, answers him with the idiomatic expression, "You have said so." Judas, of course, would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which was not a whole lot of money. A lot of debate as to how much 30 pieces of silver was, but it was the going rate for a slave, not a whole lot of money. You know, whenever we betray the Lord, that is to say, whenever you say to God, "I love this more than I love you," it's always a fool's bargain. We always sell God for cheap. It's reminiscent of the story of Esau and Jacob. Remember the story of Esau and Jacob? And Esau was supposed to get the inheritance from his father, but he traded his inheritance for a bowl of soup. We always sell God for cheap. It's always a fool's bargain. But one of the messages today is that it wasn't just Judas Iscariot that sent Jesus to the cross. There were betrayals all up and down the human race that did that. Consider for a moment the betrayal of the other 11 apostles, as I've already mentioned. When it came time to defend Jesus, they were nowhere to be found. They all fled in fear. Theirs was not a sin of commission. Theirs was a sin of omission. Not in what they'd done, but in what they'd failed to do. Did they betray the Lord? Think for a moment about the betrayal of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people. Jesus had once said of them, "They've taken their seat in the place of Moses, therefore do whatever they tell you." But it was Caiaphas who was high priest that year. And when they said that the Romans will overrun our people if this man keeps on preaching, Caiaphas was the one who said, "You fools, don't you realize that it's more expedient for one man to die than for all of the people?" And he condemns Jesus by taking the path of least resistance, as we often do. Choosing what's easiest, we betray the truth. Then lastly, consider the betrayal of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, who symbolically washes his hands of the whole affair, as if to claim himself innocent, actually claims himself guilty. His job was to administer justice, not to absolve himself from it. It's an important lesson. When you've been given a task of responsibility, very often it means doing something wildly unpopular because it's the right thing to do. And when we choose to shirk that responsibility, it's Christ the Lord who we betray. But here on Wednesday of Holy Week, in spite of all these failures all across the human race and every walk of society, we want to remember that God was always in control. You know, the Sanhedrin had convened a couple days earlier, and they'd said that they were ready to arrest Jesus, but they were certain that they were not going to do it during the Passover festival, lest they cause a riot among the people. But in spite of their most careful planning, that's exactly when it happened. Jesus said, "No one takes my life away from me. I lay it down freely." And today, he says, "My appointed time draws near." Interesting idea. The Hebrew word for time is moed. And it carries with it, in the Jewish mind, a sense of a divine appointment that in God's plan, there are certain fixed times for all things to unfold, and nothing happens by chance. Chief priests and the scribes, they can plan all they want to, but God alone controls events. And one little thought for you now to carry into Holy Week. It's been so many souls who betrayed the truth, who betrayed goodness, who betrayed love, who betrayed the Lord, who brought about the crucifixion. And at the hour of our death, on the day of judgment, none of us can claim innocence. However, we certainly can claim mercy. And we need to. All these people who betrayed the Lord, we've been all these characters. Haven't you betrayed Jesus out of weakness and also out of scheming malice? And haven't you betrayed Jesus in what you've done and in what you've failed to do? Nobody can claim innocence before God in judgment, but you sure can claim mercy, because Jesus died for all of us, even when we did not deserve it. His blood is our ransom. Let's let his blood be on our souls in abundance as we say, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Amen."